Bob Barker. This is not The Price is Right.
Oh, it could be.
You think so, huh?
Could be The Price is Right.
Live from the Snook River Grill.
Wow, you got that stuff
it's
blaring.
It's Jack Smith.
2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful Bradenton, Florida. A little rainy today.
Sparkling.
I'm Rick Angies.
It's sparkling.
I'm Rick Angies.
It is.
He's repeating
it.
Hey, do you,
there you go. And I'm Bob Barker, and it's Grill Racing USA.
I quit.
All right.
Craig, he said it.
Hey, Craig, put your freaking headphones on.
All right, we got for the next 2 hours, and you got to turn this mic down, man, because it's like
everything is crazy.
But for the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We have a variety tonight.
A wide variety.
A wide variety.
A wide variety.
Some good stuff, some bad stuff, some ugly stuff, some pretty stuff,
and Bobby Deal.
And Bobby Deal.
And Bobby Deal.
And a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what, man.
You tell me what.
Saturday.
Yeah.
New Smyrna Speedway. From the moment we signed in at the gate, Jack, and they put the stamp on us, our favorites, to...
What was that about?
I don't know. I think we were their favorites, though.
And I hate to interrupt you, but I am totally puzzled by why people from up north always, I mean, it's almost like universal, New Smyrna.
New Smyrna, yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Remember John Birdie always says
that. Yeah, New Smyrna.
Yeah.
But a great race. ASA put on an awesome show. Awesome show up there. And we were welcomed with open arms. We worked our butts off up there.
It was 90 degrees when we got there at noon, 11:30, whenever
we passed that sign pulling
in.
It was 90 degrees. That was not on the track. That was like
out in
the cow field. It was 90 degrees where the sign
was. What was the track temperature, Jack?
It was probably 110, 120.
Easy.
It was hot. I went down, and when they started practicing, which was like 1:30, I went down in turn four and stood up on the platform down there to take some shots with Clyde Hart's truck in the background, you know. And I was up there, took about four pictures, and I realized if I stayed there another little bit, I was going to fall off because it was just...
Were you getting slightly warm?
It was brutal.
It was brutally hot. Jack, what happened to all them pictures you took? Sunspots.
Sunspots. It must have been. I'm telling you.
It was the most bizarre electrical evening
really?
We ever had.
Oh, yeah. There was.
I took like 30 pictures on a 1-gig card on my camera, and it told me it was full.
Did you need some red eye eliminator?
I took 200 pictures and plugged it into my computer, and instead of showing me the pictures I took, it showed me pictures I took 3 months ago.
Oops. And then we hooked all. We were going to stream live, and we hooked up, and the passwords didn't work. The transponders didn't work. It was a bizarre, bizarre night. But
nothing was more bizarre. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say nothing was more bizarre than the little show that Thrill and Dylan Oliver put on during qualifying.
That was bizarre.
Yeah, your microphone keeps cutting in and out.
Yeah, what'd you do, Jack? You're.
Go ahead.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Hold that microphone.
Yeah. Tell us about that. What happened?
Go ahead, Rick.
He came out of four, smacked the wall, climbed the wall, and flipped over, slid across the start-finish line. I mean, it was obvious he was done. He was done, you know. He was one of the provisionals going into the race. Provisional, he was going to start. So they flipped the car back over, towed it into the pits, and I'm telling you what, that was a thrash.
Well, first of all, when it flipped over in turn four, it slid the entire length, the entire length of New Smyrna's front straight. It came to rest about 150 feet on the other side of the flag stand. Maybe not quite that, but it was way on the other side of the flag stand.
I wonder what the first thing out of his mouth was.
Wait, you got that there?
Hey, we're here at New Smyrna Speedway with Thrill and Dylan. I'm telling you, man, driver number 33, late model, you put on a show during qualifying, probably a show or during a qualifying round. You probably didn't want to put that show on, did you?
Exactly. I'm going to change that Thrill and Oliver the door to flipping Dylan Oliver.
Yeah, now you're from Kentucky, is that right?
Yes, sir. Actually, my crew chief, I moved over to Mooresville, North Carolina with him to meet some people. We finished third in ASA points last year and kind of got screwed over with a bad call in ASA the first race at Bronson, was running fourth and ended up finishing 11th, and come from 21st and finished 5th at Cordell, so maybe we can pull a Dale Earnhardt and finish a 100-lap race with a tore-up race car.
All right, so you slid all the way down the front straight at New Smyrna Speedway, one of the roughest racetracks to race at in the state of Florida. Your car was, you were upside down the whole way. What was that ride like?
It scared me to death, actually. I've never been on my top. My first thing that I thought to do was shut the motor off, and I got it shut off and slid all the way down the front stretch, and I was pushing the pedal through the front of the car, thinking it was going to stop it, but I was on my top. I wasn't doing any good.
Gotcha. Now, how old are you, Ben?
I'm 17.
17? That's cool. Well, I'll tell you what. The fact that you've got this car back here ready to roll is absolute. Everybody around here is the talk. You're the talk of this deal here tonight, man. You got to give something to your crew, huh?
Hopefully we can put on a show. Yeah, I got to thank my dad, Derek Ramey, Moore's family, David and Jeremy Wilbert, Tyler Sladen, all of them have done a real great job. They put the car back together. I've been running around getting parts, and I got to put all my thanks to those guys. They're the guys.
All right. Dylan Oliver, man, from New Smyrna Speedway. Congratulations on getting that car back, and good luck tonight.
Thanks.
All right.
And not only did he get that car back together, he made the entire race and finished 16th.
He was the last car running. 16 cars finished. It was tough, man. Like we told him, he said, New Smyrna Speedway is a tough place, man. This place will hurt you.
It'll jump up and bite you.
It will bite you, and it bit Tommy King.
Oh, yeah, Tommy King. We talked with Tommy King earlier in the day. He said the race car wasn't quite what he wanted, but they figured that after qualifying and during the race, make a few pit stops, the car would come around. But New Smyrna jumped up.
He was a hurting puppy. Ain't no doubt about it.
I'm here with Tommy King. Tommy, you had a decent run going early in the race. Trouble in turn number one. Tell us about it.
We shouldn't have been back there in the first place. We qualified poorly. Got stuck back there in the back. I don't know. I was running alongside a 62 car, Travis Wilson. He abruptly turned left. I don't know what happened. And knocked the front end out from under the car down the front straightaway. And the rest is history. That's what happened.
Tommy, looks like the car's hurt pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, and he's clip. Got to go to Carolina and get a new clip on it, and all the suspension components are broke. And I'd just like to know what Travis Wilson was thinking. That's all.
All right, Tommy, you going to be able to make it out for the next race?
I don't know. I hope so.
Tommy, good luck, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, and Tommy King wasn't the only one that was wondering what Travis Wilson was thinking.
Yeah,
there were a couple people out there that weren't pleased with Travis's run.
Yeah, Travis did, you know, he ended up finishing the race and did pretty good, you know, but during the course of the events of the night, he got invited to a few parties, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that was fun. And
that's just a couple of the interviews that we got in the pits. You know, Bill up in the tower with Matt doing the race. We're running all over New Smyrna Speedway.
All the interviews, or most of the interviews that we did, are on the Florida Stock Car Racing. There's a story in there, and they got all the links to all those. And on the Real Racing USA ASA Fastlane page, there is a link to the entire race broadcast by Matt Prier and Bob of Bill Green.
So that was an awesome show. Really liked it. I talked to John from DeSoto Speedway today, and told him about the race and that. He's real excited about them coming to DeSoto Speedway. There's an interview with Don Narone about them coming to DeSoto Speedway and him saying that it's going to be a whole different ball game for those guys down there.
I think in a little bit we're going to be able to spend a couple of minutes with Bert Thomas, one of the officials. And then tomorrow night on the ASA Fastlane, we have some more drivers and more news about the whole deal, maybe some big announcements. And
big news.
Later on here, I think in a few minutes, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk to Brandon Johnson, who actually won the race. He didn't just win the race.
He walked.
He stole it.
He walked the dog.
He just walked it, yeah.
Yep. Real quick, couple of things in the news. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is getting ready to open Alabama Motorsports Park. A dirt track, an asphalt track, a drag strip, and a road course. They'll pack this place just with the name of it. And did you hear... Jimmy Spencer was on the Speed Channel recently, and they were doing the Barrett Jackson car auction in Scottsdale, Arizona. And while he was looking under the hood of this 66 Oldsmobile, he apparently snagged his hairpiece.
Who?
Jimmy Spencer, the real Mr. Excitement.
Craig, what do you have to say about that now?
I'm speechless.
Anyway, Mike Joy was part of the show. Well, Jimmy put the headpiece on, and I guess it was kind of cocked sideways.
Get out of here.
But Mike Joy let him finish the whole taping of the whole show.
Jack.
And so Jimmy found out about it, and he elbowed Mike Joy in the head. But anyway, they threw him off that show. He's not on Speed Channel anymore. But he has put his resume in to replace Bob Barker on The Price is Right.
Oh, here we go again.
You got to thank Doyle Hargraves for that little bit of information. So Jimmy Spencer.
Jimmy Spencer.
What would we do if Jack lost his hairpiece?
I don't know. Pigman would have to give him a new name. Hendrick Motorsports, nasty car. Two cars, DQ. The two big names.
Again?
Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon.
Ooh.
Both of them had to start from the back of the pack. Now, even though, Junior got DQ'd, they took $100,000, 100 points, which really hurt Junior. Won't hurt Gordon. He'll still be 171 points in the lead. But
took this how is many points?
Wait. You know, points. Terry Wall, if Terry Wall would ever get going on this show that he keeps promises, Terry, I know you're listening, sitting there in your living room, taking it easy in Kentucky while we're slaving away. I know you're listening. So when are you gonna get this thing going, man? I mean,
right.
We keep talking it up. NASCAR fast talk.
NASCAR fast talk.
All we're hearing so far is it's coming.
Anyway, this is Chad Knauss's second infraction, so I think he's gonna get a little more than 6 weeks. Also, Eric Aramola going to get in racing possibly in 2008 as a full time driver of the 01 Army car.
Really?
Yeah.
In a cup car?
Cup car.
Really?
Yep. Yep. He'll be actually, it'll be close to full-time. It'll be swapping time with Mark Martin. Mark Martin is going to drop off a little bit next year. So Eric is supposed to be there. There's a lot of heavy talk about him going in the 01 car.
Yeah, I did his very first racing proposal.
I did his very first radio interview.
That's right.
I think it was sitting right here.
Yeah. We've been playing that clip. We've been playing a clip from that on our Inside Florida Racing Show on Thursday night. We've been playing that clip from time to time. Nobody picked up on it yet. Who it is, because we don't say who it is. There's just this thing, and it's him talking about his we're not talking to Terry
Wall. Terry's not allowed.
But Tonight, we have Bobby Deal in the house.
Bobby
Deal
in the house.
We have some more folks from Charlotte County.
Right.
We got Bert Thomas.
Bert Thomas.
Yeah. We got the lonesome stranger, the tall lonesome stranger.
The tall lonesome stranger.
Yep. There he is.
He used to, I used to love going down there because you'd see him on the backstretch. You couldn't miss him.
Mr. Holmes.
Yep. Oscar.
Mr. Holmes.
Oscar. So, Craig's on the phone.
And of course, at the last half hour of the show, as always, all Harley drags, and we got two live ones tonight.
Yeah, I got two big ones.
We got two live ones tonight.
And Stevie LaTemp.
Yeah. So,
I don't know if you want to go into this now or not. The Bob Motes thing. There's Kevin Ruick put a post on the message board about Bob Motes. But of course, he drives one of the semi jet trucks. And one of the most devastating fires I've ever seen in my life on a starting line. Craig's been in contact with him.
That was funny, Craig had sent an email to us, and we actually had that story on the front page of Karnak for quite a while. Bob is a personal friend of Craig's, and it's a tough deal, man.
Craig, you've got the latest information. There isn't a lot out there right now, but what's going on with it?
Well, I talked with Scott, who's Bob's son and crew chief. He's in intensive care in West Virginia, along with...
Scott is.
Right. Along with the one gentleman from the track. I don't know if it was a starter or one of the starting line persons that also helped get him out of the and try and get him away from the fire in the truck. They are both in a recuperating phase right now, just trying to you know, see the extent of the injuries. With burns, it's real difficult. It takes time for your system to come down from that and then to survey the extent of it. Bob is back home in Ohio and is still in critical condition, the latest update on that, in an intensive burn unit.
Bob's not a spring chicken here either.
No, he's up there. He's tough, though. He's a survivor, so they had asked right now. I've got the information. If people want to send emails or get well, I have a location for that, which is off of his website. However, we really don't want to flood too much, you know, at the location. But they're more than welcome to send it. His email is jtruck_1@yahoo.com, and a mailing address is the World's Fastest Truck, P.O. Box 316, Wadsworth, Ohio, 44282.
Now, we've had Doug Rose on here, you know, the Green Mamba, and we've had a few of the other guys call in and tell us about how these things operate. Now, there's a couple of videos online. They're pretty grainy. The YouTube video is probably the most chilling out of all of them. But there's not really a lot of detail on what exactly happened. Craig, do you know anything about that?
The only thing that Scott conveyed to me is that it's obvious that one of the fuel delivery systems, there was a malfunction or something occurred. The amount of fuel that was present when it ignited, you know, gives tendency to that. He exited the truck. The YouTube video shows him coming out the passenger side, which he'd always come in the driver's side and go out the passenger side. And the fuel that was sprayed either in the cab or on him ignited as he was coming out, and that's what the starting line person, as well as his son and crew chief, were attempting to get him out and put him out at that point. You can see clearly when he's on the ground and that fuel is still burning on him.
Well, you look at the truck from the exterior before this, and it looks like a regular semi. I mean, it looks like a full cab semi. But we were talking earlier, and you said that it's actually basically open on the inside. And so basically, the intensity of this fire, as quick as it engulfed this thing, you could tell that it started from the inside, and it just came all over on the inside.
What kind of a jet engine was this?
This is a J-79. It's commonly in a B-52 or an F-4 Phantom.
F-4 Phantom. So this would be no different than a aircraft on an aircraft carrier catching on fire right there on the line.
Correct.
Same thing.
Correct.
Intense.
You have a lot of fuel. You have a lot of fuel lines, and they're under high pressure. And if one of those ruptures or a seal ruptures, you have a spray or mist, if you will, of fuel, which is spreading the surface area. And that's why you see when they ignited, it was covering a large amount of area very quickly.
Intense. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a picture just handed me of you and Bob, and you're standing there in. How many layer fire suit do you wear?
Same. We have the same. The triple layer.
Triple layer fire suit with the helmet, you know, gloves and all that. The thing that I don't believe is what I saw in the starting line. There was nobody in any kind of safety equipment on that starting line. There was four or five guys running around in red T-shirts.
That gives you 20 to 30 seconds.
This does.
Before.
The triple fire suit.
Triple layer.
Yeah.
Triple layer before a second degree burn.
And you know, the video went on. And I mean, it's a 3.5 minute video. And the minute and a half it took the fire truck to come from the end of the drag strip to the starting line was an eternity. It was just, I mean, a total eternity. As soon as they got there and they got it, the guys are still half dressed on the fire truck. They get out. As soon as they hit it, it's out. Basically, as soon as the fire truck hit it, it's out, but it burned.
The guys on the starting line and the crew and his son were doing whatever they could. And, you know, there's no doubt that those guys put themselves in great risk of bodily injury, as you know, because the starter is next in the next room next to Scott, that in the same intensive care unit. So he suffered injuries trying to save him. You know, all we can do now is thoughts and prayers to all the families involved. And
okay, you being the main safety guy for IHRA, long time for Hooters Pro Cup, DeSoto Speedway. Is there any regulation to when you bring one of these things to the starting line?
When you say regulation,
any, I mean this
what
is,
should
this
be
is,
done.
This isn't
what should
a,
be done. You
know, I mean, a nitro funny car is bad enough, but this is an explosion waiting to happen.
It's a rolling bomb.
It's a rolling it's bomb. A rolling I mean, bomb. This thing was not meant to go down a drag strip. It was meant to fly 30,000 feet in the air.
Right. When we do our events, of course, we have a truck at either end of the track. We have guys suited up. Any time there's a racing vehicle on the surface running, we're suited up, ready to go, because you can't predict what's going to happen, case in point with that.
Shouldn't there be some kind of something more?
Well, that's what we've been pushing, and that's why NFPA 610 was originally started up, if you will. And after this all rolls back to, after Earnhardt again, you know, and making everyone knowledgeable and aware of what can happen, the potential.
And, you know, and it was just last week we were talking about Selmer, Tennessee, and that this was a controlled environment. Remember we were talking that should have never happened in an uncontrolled environment to start with.
Controlled environment, and they actually had more than a lot of tracks have. They
had
a full-size
fire truck.
And it was in the right position being at the end of the track,
right,
because if he were to crash. However,
yes,
this just goes to show you have to pre-plan and think about all
it's
the
crazy
avenues.
Jack, is there any updates on Selmer? Have you been or anything?
No, I think Craig was following up on that.
Just the latest updates on that have been, of course, the family's mourning the losses.
Investigation's still ongoing.
It's still ongoing. It's going to be going for a while. They did have some press releases, the Tennessee Highway Patrol and at the state level is still in a determining factor, whether they're going to, you know, whether there's going to be any charges or not, or the whole, he did submit to, the driver, Troy Critchley, did submit to blood alcohol testing at that point. And
what a crazy 2 weeks, man. I mean, the fire at Fonda Speedway with no safety again.
It's
crazy.
It's been wild.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Let's take a break, come back, and we have Bobby Deal.
Want to bring Bobby up?
No, we got to talk to Brandon Johnson first.
Okay.
Then put the ASA to bed for tonight.
Well, we got Bert Thomas, too, so we'll bring Bert up.
Bert's here.
We'll bring Bert up.
Where's Bert?
Right there.
We'll bring Bert up when we talk to Brandon.
You have to forgive him. His glasses aren't thick enough.
There's Todd Freed Jr. Out there.
Yeah, Todd Freed Jr. out there. He's got somebody pulled over.
Yeah.
Well, we know everybody in this town.
Oh, yeah. Cops, everything, man.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Real Racing USA, live at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful Bradenton, Florida. We're back live. Bert Thomas from the ASA. Bert, Saturday night, got to bring you the series almost home.
Yeah, just about. Just about 150 about. Miles away from home.
A little bit of caution-filled race, but the competition was unreal in that bad boy.
Yeah, that's the good thing about the series. A lot of people say, I create engines, no horsepower, no speed. But if they're all running the same speed, you're down to drivers and setup, and the competition is real good. Simple as that.
Real good. Of course, the excitement started right away in qualifying.
Yeah.
Got them flipping down the front stretch. That's how intense these guys were making the show. 38 cars.
Yep, 38 cars. We've been averaging about 40.
So. Started 26. 28. So you sent 8 cars home.
Correct.
And one of them wasn't the car that flipped.
I just couldn't believe they got that back together. They messed up. All they messed up is the wheels, the shocks, and the roof.
Yeah.
So they got it fixed.
They did some intense thrashing on that race car.
Good bunch of people.
And talking about a good bunch of people, you got the ASA, the group that you're with, some really great people, Matt, Ron, and Sandy Barney. It's a great group of people and a good – I mean, you guys worked your asses off.
Yeah, we were a couple people short. We had one guy we were expecting. He never showed up, and another guy whose brother got ill, and he couldn't make it. And that was even after we had brought Gary Montag on board to help us out with the flagging. So we were still two people short. And when you've got 38 cars to tech for qualifying in 90 minutes with two people short, that's a little tough. And, of course, we pulled 3 engines after the race. We finished about 2:30 that morning.
Now, that's what I'm going to go at next is – these are all crate motors, right? All
yes.
Sealed crate motors. They're GM crate motors. Isn't the whole idea that of not having to pull the motor, that's why they're sealed? Or
it is and it isn't. It's just part of our rules that if we decide to pull the motor and dyno it, that's what we're going to do. There's rumors abounding that you can get around the seals, you can buy the bolts, you can do this, you can do that. So we thought, all right, let's pull the top 3, take them to Michigan, dyno them, and if they don't look good on the dyno, we'll go from there and see what's going on in there.
So basically what they do is they take them, they put them on a dyno.
Correct.
Okay, and what do they do? What do they do at the dyno? What? I mean, do you know what they're looking for on the dyno?
Well, they're looking for a certain amount of horsepower and not too much above, you know, give or take 4, 5, 6 horses. But if it gets above whatever their guideline is, then obviously they have to go a little further to see why it's above what it should be from the factory.
So they'll pop the motor open, basically?
Quite likely, yes.
Okay. So, crate motors, there's been a lot of pros, a lot of con about it. A lot of guys, I mean, I've heard a lot of people out there, you know, basically what I've heard is series promoters and track owners saying, oh, no, you can't buy them bolts. You can't buy them seals. But then I hear the guys like Fred telling me, I got bolts on my front, on my desk.
I've heard the same thing.
So, you know, it's neither here nor there. Is it a better idea, though? I mean, if these guys can actually do this, does it keep the playing field even?
Well, it's racing, you know, and you got to stop and think. They're going to go to all the gray area they can go to get the advantage, and our job is to find out what they're doing and stop it. And basically that's why we pull them. That's what tech is for, to keep the playing field level. Make the competition what it ought to be.
You know, I didn't hear a lot of complaining about it Saturday night.
They're pretty used to our tech. You know, we've got a reputation as being pretty tough, and because it was hot and we were shorthanded, we really cut them a lot of slack as far as templates and everything, because we've already gone through them a half a dozen times this year So we know they're if not exact, they're very close.
Right, and I mean, the tech, you know, you ran them through, and you also impound the tires.
We impound the tires. As soon as they put the qualifying tires on, that vehicle and the tires are impounded until race time. They go out and qualify, they're impounded again. We line them up for the race, and all they can do is take off tape and take a little air out of the tires, and that's all they can do to touch it.
Well, you know, leading up to the race, you know, we had the downtime for the flip, a couple problems during qualifying and stuff. So we did get behind schedule a little bit. And I was listening on the radio, you know, Ron and everybody getting together trying to figure out how we're going to make up time so we can start this bad boy on time and everything. And one of the things that was mentioned was cutting the autograph session. And then that became an absolutely no way, we're not cutting that. And I'll tell you what, it was almost 90% of the fans that were at that racetrack were out there. And every one of these guys, it's amazing because they're late model drivers, but and they all got, you know, hero cards and doing autographs and promoting the series is the main thing that they were doing.
They are. And, you know, these we got a lot of young kids, as you know, out of 38, there were like 27 rookies. Of course, that's Tommy King and Wayne Morris, a rookie in our series, obviously not a rookie in racing. But these young kids are getting schooled from the age of 14 on up in PR and media relations and what to do, how to do, what not to do. And they really look forward to the autograph session because you really never know who's down there talking to you when they're down there.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that could be your future sponsor sitting down there.
Absolutely.
I also saw that there was a car entered by A.J. Foyt.
Yeah, there was, matter of fact. Yep.
So, you know, A.J. Foyt is paying attention to the series.
And we've got, you know, some developmental drivers, Richard Childress and a couple of the other big names that are coming up through our series. You know, they've got the financial wherewithal that this is a stepping stone. They want to win a championship and they move on to ARCA or whatever from there.
Well, I took a picture of Kyle Eastman, I think.
Yes.
And he's leaning against the car. And I'll be damned if that didn't look like Mark Martin 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
About the same size.
Yeah.
And we have one of those young guns and one of those media-savvy guys. As a matter of fact, one of those guys who won the race, the ASA Florida 100, Brandon Johnson's on the line with us right now. Welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean,
are your feet touching the ground yet?
Yeah, just starting to. Just starting to sink in. So it was it was amazing.
It was absolutely amazing the way you drove that race and the way that car just handled and everything just seemed to work perfect for you that night.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more, really. I mean, all the starts worked out good for me. I got the lead pretty early on the green flag when it dropped, and the car was just rotating so good in the center there wasn't much anybody could do with it. So.
Now, you're an unsponsored team coming down here. You know, I was just talking to Bert Thomas, the race director for ASA, and, you know, he's telling me about how there's a lot of developmental teams. We were talking about the A.J. Foyt car, and you're an unsponsored car. Did you have any inkling at all going into that race how good everything was going to work for you?
Somewhat, but I wasn't expecting the win. I was more expecting a top five finish, but just everything worked out perfectly that night, and everything just came together for us.
Now, Brandon, I mean, where did you get your start in racing?
Through go-karts. Back when I started when I was 7 years old, racing go-karts with my dad. And it's just been me and him ever since. And we moved up to the trucks a few years ago, and then we decided to go ASA racing.
So you've improved each race. Had a little bit of difficulty up at Bronson, finished fourth at Watermelon Capital, and now you win this one. What do you see coming up? How are you guys going to approach going to Birmingham?
Same way we came to New Smyrna, just hoping for a top five, and if we get ourselves in that position again, we'll try and capitalize like we did this time.
What was your spotter saying to you through the course of the night?
He was just mostly telling me to just be careful on the starts because that was the only time Chiquette and Boyd were pretty close to me. for about 5 laps, it seemed like they could really give me a lot of pressure. But after that, he was just telling me to pace myself. I was walking away, so I was just pacing myself, trying to hit my marks and just be calm and relaxed, because it was a really hot night. And I started getting a little tired at the end of the race there, especially I ran out of my juice in the car, so I didn't have anything to drink the last 50 laps.
Well, I was standing with Jeff Sloan, who's working with Jeff Choquette, and that last caution, he said Jeff was screaming in the car that he needed water. And then I interviewed Brian Bloom after the race, and he was absolutely, he was jello. How did you feel? Do you do anything, like, you know, most of your races are going to be in the heat of the summer. Do you do anything different prior to the race to get prepared for that?
Just drink a lot of water and a lot of Gatorade and try and just stay relaxed and calm and cool. And hopefully that'll work out. Just this race, I didn't feel the greatest in the start of the race. My stomach was upset, so that didn't help me out at all during the race.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
It had to help being out front. Jeff Choquette said he tried to run your line, tried to follow the line you were running around the track, and he couldn't do it. So he knew there was no way he was going to catch you. So.
The car was just working so well. I could arc at the corner. I could get in higher in the corner and then just bring it right down in the center, and the car was just rotating perfect in the middle. And I was driving up out of the corners perfectly straight. So, I mean, the car was awesome.
Driving a perfect late model at New Smyrna's got to be unreal.
All right. Cool. And, you know, there's a interview on the in realracingusa.com in the ASA Fastlane section on May 9th. You can go in there. There's a 30-minute interview with Brandon, his whole race career, and a whole lot of information about this guy. It was a pretty good show, man, and what do you think? Everybody was saying there had to be a Florida guy winning this race. Is that what you felt, too, going in, that somebody from Florida was going to win it because you have to know New Smyrna a little bit or be familiar with it?
Yeah, I figured Choquette and Boyd would have a pretty good shot since they had so many laps around the track. Yeah. I mean, I was talking with Boyd after qualifying, and he was telling me how he should have qualified on the pole, which he did. And he was just telling me how many laps he's had around the track and how many years he's been racing it. And I mean, he's got a lot of experience around there. So,
yeah. Well, you got to realize one other thing, though, that you know, he's got a whole lot of laps around that racetrack. But in all reality, that was a brand new racetrack for everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that was a whole different racetrack that he raced on. You know, that bump in turn three is gone. And I mean, how did you feel about that surface at New Smyrna?
Well, it had a lot of grip. I mean, I was amazed. I was be able to get back in the throttle really early, and the car was just, it would stick, and there was a lot of grip.
And smooth, right?
Yeah. There was just a little bump still in turn three, but, I mean, it wasn't that bad at all.
That's the character of that racetrack right there.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, who's some of the people that help you with that car?
Me, my dad, and my spotter Tony. It's just mainly us three right now. And
what was it like when they told you after the race that you're going to pull the motor?
What was that?
What was it like after the race when you got the tech and they said you're pulling the motor?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, we just won the race, so we were pretty happy still. So it just meant we had to stay there a little longer. So, but we got it done, and it's not too bad.
All right, Brandon. We want to thank you a lot for joining us here on Real Racing USA. Wish you all the luck in the world, and good luck at Alabama, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right. We definitely will stay in touch with you. Brandon Johnson, winner of the Florida 100 ASA race. The kid's a class act, man.
Typical race for us. It was exciting. It was close. There was passing all over the field.
One thing I did notice, and I told Jack when I first got there, and we were standing in
same
turn
thing
four.
I hear from all kinds
and
of
I mean,
people.
I've been in, you know, I've been around this a long time, mostly at DeSoto. You've known me for years. A lot of late model races at New Smyrna. The speed, the way these cars come out of the turn is completely different than any other late model I've ever seen. Because I told Jack, I said,
They're slow.
These guys look slow.
First thing he said.
They're slow. They look slow. And individually going around the turn, coming out of the turn, it's like they're geared down. And it's just different. They're a completely different car than a regular late model.
Well, they've got to figure out the gearing because we've got the chip in them to limit them to 6,300 RPM.
Right.
So they've all got to figure that out. But again, you get them in a bunch, and speed's all relative at that point.
Absolutely. One thing I did hear, though, you know, because I finally broke down and bought me a scanner Saturday night, and the one thing I was hearing was, and the way that I could tell that you guys are really staying on top of this, the whole race, is somebody heard somebody shifting.
Yep, we don't allow shifting on the start or restart. That's why we have our pace car doing 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. So I mean, and that caught my ear. I mean, and that means somebody's down there in turn four paying attention, listening.
Oh, absolutely. Too many missed shifts cause wrecks. You well know that.
And absolutely. And we'll have a whole lot more on this whole event and upcoming ASA events tomorrow night on the ASA Fastlane. But I'll tell you, I was talking to Matt Prier, the announcer and media man extraordinaire for the ASA Late Model Series, and I made the point. I really believe this that. You know, Bronson was a good event because it had a lot of cars there, and it was first time here. But New Smyrna Speedway is a whole different animal. It has a whole lot more. It's a lot more publicity, a lot more notoriety around it. It's a lot more well known than Bronson Motor Speedway, and this event, I think, really got some people's attention down here in Florida.
I believe it did. You know, we race in Pensacola regularly, but I think our race coming up in October at DeSoto is also
absolutely
going to catch some eyes.
Absolutely, and that's another thing. You know, I mean, like we were like I said, they looked slow to me at the beginning, but once they got going, I mean, once they were in packs and stuff, it was a normal late model race to me. I mean, these guys, but they were just, it wasn't follow the leader.
Absolutely.
They were side by side racing. I talked to Don Nerone after the race, and he goes, "I mean, these guys." The tires, they're look like he said they may be slower, but they're under tired, so they got to get up on the wheel to do it. Now at DeSoto Speedway, this is going to be a whole different race down there.
Yeah, it will. It's a different track altogether.
Yeah, it's going to be a completely different track. You years and years at DeSoto Speedway. How do you think these guys are going to handle this? This is different.
We've raced at some tracks that are quite similar to DeSoto, so I don't think there's going to be a particular problem. But you have to look at the fact we got a lot of young drivers whose mindset is get to the front now. And that's why we have a trouble getting through the first five or six laps almost every race.
Yeah. Now, later in the season, you know, these early races, you're stacking 38, 40, over 40 cars in some of them. Do you think you're going to have that car count in October?
I believe we will. I'm sure some will filter out because of the travel, but let's face it, we've got 25 or 30 of them right here in the state of Florida, so I don't think.
And there's going to be some new ones coming in who are going to get ready for next year. So it's going to be special, and Bert, it'll be a whole homecoming.
Again, yeah, be back down to my hometown. I was there today kind of laying out the track for parking and everything, and it was nice to be back over there.
I bet it was.
Guys, I want to thank you for having me here. It's nice to talk to you where it's air-conditioned for a change.
No doubt, man. It was wicked bad Saturday.
Got that right.
It was bad.
We got home. I'll tell you, man, it was brutal. I took my shoes off, tried to walk into the kitchen and get something to eat because I've been eating track food all day. I was like Joe Cocker, man. I couldn't walk.
Oh, I know. Tell me.
Yeah, this is where you're at, man.
I parked them all by myself all day Friday from 10:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. I was parking rigs.
You guys were
nobody
nonstop
else was there
from the minute. I mean, we got to talk for a few minutes.
That's typical.
Yeah, and it was nonstop action the whole day.
All right, Bert, we're going to run. We're going to
Thank
go to a quick break, and we're going to come back with Bobby Deal.
It's come down to this: 100 laps, five to go at the line. Five cars nose to tail, heading down into turn number one. Anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. Three laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number one. They start to fan out. Coming off a two. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn four. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number one. They fan out. Two by two. Three wide. Coming off a turn number two. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top. Trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around four, there's still two by two. Three cars drop back. It's one car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 And it's time, Rick. It's time once
again. It's time. It's time. We touched over it just a little bit last week because it was brand new news last week. 5-year extension for Charlotte.
Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Motorsports Park. That, I mean, I told you that 3 years ago, there's no way it can't happen. But then again, I told you again, if anybody could do it, Bobby Deal.
Well, you know, with racetracks and the reason that we're featuring this on this show tonight instead of waiting until the Thursday night Inside Florida Racing.
You got to hold that still.
Which I have a bad habit of breaking mics.
Yeah, you do.
But instead of waiting until Thursday, we want to talk to Bobby Deal tonight because, you know, we talk to promoters and people around the country on a regular basis where racetracks are in danger,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Nashville or other places around the country. We're always talking to people.
Where they're parking Kias all over the racetrack.
We just talk to people up in Florence where they're ready to lose their racetrack, up in Georgia and around the country. And we have an instance here where, you know, working with the community was able to save a racetrack, and Bobby Deal needs to be commended for it. Welcome to the Real Racing USA, Bobby.
Thank you.
Bobby, what did it take?
Well, you know, there's not a simple answer to that question. We have a lot of dedicated people that have been around that have supported the Fast Track organization and the Fast Late Models. And, you know, look what we did. I don't know how many Florida Late Models were there at the ASA race, but, you know, we did a bunch.
We did a couple of those.
Brandon was one of ours.
Yeah. Well,
but, you know, and we've been around for a while doing things. Eric Romarello was my student assistant 5 years ago. You know, things have just progressed. Getting down to Charlotte County, that was a place that was our home for the Fast Trucks anyway. And when I had an opportunity to pick it up because of the political turmoil that was going on, and, you know, Leroy did things his way, and they may not have been the way the community wanted it. And it needed to go to current market value, which if you believe you can't do it, you won't. I believe in the pyramid power is nothing more than a force that you can believe something you can accomplish. It's nothing more than a direction. We've got a lot of great people that have jumped in and supported. And, you know, it's not about like me doing anything more than just allowing people to be as good as they can at what they do. So, you know, there's not a simple answer, but I can tell you after 28 community events from the March of Dimes to the Blood Wagon coming out, the Respite Center, the Boy Scouts, salute to the military, on and on and on and on. It's all about the community, and that's been a really key part to it. We've associated ourselves with nothing but the King of Beers. The number one retail outlet, which is Walmart, Super Walmarts. We've got with the best wing ding going in the country, Hooters. You know, we're Advance Auto Parts. So if you associate yourself with winners, you know, it rubs off. And, you know, obviously Karnak and Keels and Wheels and Uncle John's Smoked Sausage. It goes on and on. Those are the reasons we're successful. We've made a footprint, in fact, like the Florida Association of Short Tracks, where we have some other tracks coming on board. They all have a Walmart. They all have Budweiser. They all have Pepsi. Oh, I left out Pepsi. I'm sorry. But
it's a long list, isn't it, Bob?
I don't have that many hats.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes to not just one thing. It's a multitude of things and great people. We had some changes within the officiation and lucky enough to get Oscar Holmes on, which, you know, Oscar's been around there forever, and he's always been up to South Carolina.
Yeah, I went to Hardeeville, South Carolina with Ronnie Bacello, and me and my wife, we moved up there, Krista, we moved up there to run a racetrack, and I learned a lot from moving up there. I really did learn a lot, and you're not giving yourself enough credit for what you're doing at Charlotte County Motorsports Park because you're the best thing that ever happened to Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Because without you, it probably wouldn't they be there. And I want to be the first to congratulate you on your contract extension or your lease extension or whatever you want to call it. But exactly, Bobby Deal needs a great big hand. He's gone a long way for Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and he's really made big changes there. and you got to take your hat off to yourself. I got to take my hat off to you, and you and your wife have done a hell of a job at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, buddy.
Well, I thank you, and you know, it's very humbling. The neatest thing of all is it's amazing how 10 drops can make a whole court get hard enough to hold up a boat. And you know, it's all that part of the resin and that fiberglass mat that makes that boat a boat. And, you know, what I do may be a catalyst, but it's nothing more than an activator that allows everybody else to do what they do the best, which is in the officiation. You know, I try to stay out of them even though I get sucked in every once in a while. But it's hard because I've always had an open-door policy. And, you know, all the way back to Bert left, I guess. No, Bert's still here. Bert probably was one of the instrumental guys that ever taught me about officiating, because I was wanting to be the young guy that got out there after a problem and go out there and fix the problem. And Bert said, "Why are you in a hurry? It usually fixes itself before you get there." And you know, I've learned to let people do what they do best. And Oscar, man, without a doubt, what you do. We've got volunteers at the track that have guided me not only in track issues but community issues and how to get to where we're at.
Well, your volunteers are they really help us out at Charlotte County Motorsport Park. There's a lot of volunteers at Charlotte County Motorsport Park that really help us out a lot on Saturday nights to run our show.
And that's, I think, that everybody likes to be associated with a winner, and having CCMP, a winning place, gives people, I mean, from the racers to the fans, I mean, my favorite quote is the Empire, the Roman Empire failed because of the Christians refusing to eat lion meat. And as the racers, you can't make the racers pay. You got to work on the front gate. And the neatest thing of all is when you see these racers go out and promote the front gate, that's what it's all about.
Well, and you know, it started in January with the Brian Davidson Memorial.
Yes.
Because Bill and I announced it over the internet. It was broadcast live over the internet, and I got there like an hour and a half before the race started. There was no place to park.
Oh, I was surprised too, Rick, when I pulled up there.
I was totally amazed. I mean, I've been there on some busy nights. I mean, we go way back, you know, back in the old days when it was the regular 1,000 people there every week, and it was, you know, that was fantastic. But I got there, and it was wall to wall. Unbelievable. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that's our third biggest night now. Go figure.
Well, to there's a little more to this, and a lot of racetracks around the country run into this problem where they're not able to effectively deal with government bodies. And I mean, it's a very, very common problem. A lot of it, in some cases, it just comes down to inexperience at dealing with government bodies. But here in this case, you don't just have to win over the public, the businesses and so forth, or the fans and the drivers. You really have to win over the Charlotte County Airport Authority. And I'll tell you what, Pam C, who's been on that board for a long time, is probably one of the biggest assets this racing community in Charlotte County, in that Charlotte County Motorsports Park area, has.
Well, you know, one
her and Mr. Lee and some of those other guys that have decided to support the track, it's a major deal.
Well, you know, it comes down to working within the community. I mean, without a doubt, what Ms. C has done is she supported it through thick and thin, and Don Lee, you know, recognizes by the community was the one that brought him into the position he was in. But, you know, the biggest problem you run into is current market value and what's happened. And, you know, that's what diminishes a lot of opportunity with speedways all over. I mean, the price of real estate is incredible. But those people behind the scenes that made the decisions, I mean, you got to remember, every time there's a it goes past 11:31, and you get John Q. Public that calls in and says, "Hey, I want to complain because that noisy place over there that I bought a house next to went past its curfew," and it comes back to those people like Miss Pam and Don Lee and, you know, Robert, and those guys that all have to listen to it. You know, you can't tell them to go do something else. You got to work around it. So, you know, we made a mistake in one night because we ran late, and through our novice approach of trying to get so much on the table that we ran to 1:30. And, you know, they told me, you know, if you go past 11:31, you're done. You know, and it's hard to tell a racer that's sitting strapped to his seat, it's time to shut it off because we've got to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes down to those people giving us that opportunity that stood behind us that gives that community support. That's what it's all about.
Jack, over the years, you know, we've been to many of those airport authority meetings. And really, you know, I mean, this place was on the edge. I mean, it was within days.
It was gone. It was gone.
But this airport authority was basically, their main thing was, okay, show us what you're going to do.
That's right.
Show us.
Yeah, they were tired of hearing the talk. Yeah. They wanted to see.
Okay,
they
we're going
to see.
I mean, and the variety of people that ran that track, Glenn Van Horn, the Beldens, Leroy, you know, on and on, Ronnie and them that came in.
I worked for them all.
Yeah,
I've worked for them all. And I have to say, Bobby Deal's the best. Bobby Deal's the best. I've worked for every one of them that's been through Charlotte County Motorsports Park, Charlotte County Speedway, whatever you want to call it. I've worked for them all.
Well,
and
you,
Bobby Deal's the best.
You read Bobby Deal, you listen to Bobby Deal, and you read what Bobby Deal puts on message boards, and you read what the press releases Bobby Deal pulls out, and the thing that you do is incite the excitement.
That's what we do. This is entertainment.
Exactly.
In fact, it's funny. I interrupted Oscar's driver's meeting last weekend, not this, or 2 weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
And I said, you know, we've got a great flagman, which I'm going to let you tell about. Mm-hmm. But we ended up, you know, I said, how many race car drivers we got out here? And every one of them raised their hands. And I said, you know, you guys, each and every one of you, and the TBARA was there, so we had some really pretty heavy hitters in the group. And, you know, I said, you know, each and every one of you are a racer, and absolutely. But remember, the people that pay the dollar are looking for the entertainment. And whether I'm writing a comical entry into what we got going this weekend and giving people, you know, comical names and all, it's all about, it's not hype, it's about enthusiasm. But nobody wants to pay money to a bad show.
It's the excitement.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the excitement.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the most amazing thing about the vote itself to me is, last two years ago, Jim Dygert and I met personally with all of those board members, you know, and had lengthy conversations with them on a private, just like this, sitting there talking and getting their views and they listen to us. And, you know, the thing that's most amazing to me is they voted 5-0, and the fact that Mr. Robert Skidmore, who's the vice chairman of that board, voted in favor of you guys, is, I cannot tell you what that, I mean, man, that's awesome.
I was shocked when that happened.
Absolutely
too, Jack.
Amazing. It really, really is.
I never thought he would have a unanimous vote.
Absolutely.
There was no way you could have convinced me that the Charlotte County Airport
never
Authority would give a unanimous vote for that racetrack. I would never thought I'd ever see that day happen, because what the track has been through, I mean, there's been bad blood at that racetrack for a long time.
Oscar, that racetrack's been to hell and back.
Oh, buddy, and it's
more than
survived.
One.
It's
more
survived,
than one.
So it's meant to be there.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Destroyed by a hurricane and still there.
Still survived.
Still,
yeah, Charlie tore us up.
So,
I mean,
where do we go from here?
Wow.
The top,
funny.
I hope.
It was funny because I was just telling Rick, you know, one of my greatest things I really preached and was on the bandwagon was for the crate motors, and now we got super late models coming. You know, it's funny because it's evolved, and it's a live working Bible. I mean, it changes every day, and you got to be ready for the change and see what's happening. Leroy had a situation where he didn't want the TBARA in, but the people on the Hill wanted it so bad. And so, you know, we took it. Little Vic said, hey, I'll step up. I had a little conversation with a pretty smart gentleman that kind of put the two of us together that said, you know, this is what maybe you'll do. And Little Vic has the concessions, by the way. And he doesn't make any money unless it's packed.
Absolutely.
Backing a dead horse doesn't get you anything but a dead horse. And he stepped up and, you know, backed the first time with the TBARA. And then Donnan wanted to sign it the next time out. And you know, it's amazing. Those two dates were two dates bigger than the Brian Davidson. And the other date that outdid the Brian Davidson was a late model show. And, you know, our late model show was bringing five different divisions of styles of late models together, the Goodyear Challenge, the ASA cars, the limited cars, and the what are the other two? We allowed the Goodyears to run either two-barrel or four-barrel. But anyway, they were fine, and the Supers. And we had the Supers want to come back, and they didn't want to come add 300 pounds. And so they said, hey, look, you know, the bottom line is, why don't you run us? And Steve Dorr said, Bobby, you need to run the Super, man. You'd have a heck of a show. And I go, well, I don't want to go there. That's like sacred ground. Well, you know, you pay more than we get paid anyway. I said, no way. They go, no, we get $3,000 for a win. And I'm going, wow, man, I've written a check for $6,600. When do y'all want to come over? You know? And we asked the people, and they said, yeah. And so I can tell you, I mean, I've had call after call after call. We're going to run a six-pack race, you know, brought to you by Budweiser. And it's going to be incredible because we've got people like Dave Pletcher, Jeff. I mean, these names that
– Jeff Scoville?
Yep.
Wayne Moore or Wayne Anderson?
Oh yeah, Wayne Anderson. Wayne Anderson called up, ordered his new American tires, and he's going to run both races.
Both races. That's what I like. Wayne Anderson showing up.
But both races. So now let me tell you.
And there was times, guys, where them guys swore they'd never come back to them race.
Let's go back in history a little bit. Jack and I, the Triple Crown didn't have a third race 1 year, so Jack and I worked together and we put the Triple Crown at Charlotte County, made the big announcement and everything. And we got phone calls out the ass of these guys saying, what in the hell is wrong with you? We can't race that racetrack. You remember?
It was yesterday.
Yeah, we just got the attorneys and Don Nerone together, and they were able to put it together, and it was very successful.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good show. It was a good show.
But they've got them guys were mad as hell. Now, the only difference at that racetrack, besides the infield's different, is Bobby Deal.
Bobby Deal.
No.
Bobby Deal.
So that's one thing. So you got the big super late models. You're going to move with that. Now, what kind of physical improvements do you think realistically can get done here over the next couple of years?
Well, the reason I went to the airport and I said, you know, let me tell you, 8 months, it's real hard to go borrow the kind of money to take and do what we need to do. And let me tell you a quick little sidebar. Pam had called me and said, hey, let me tell you about a consortium that they put together at the Charlotte County where all the airport people were involved, all the elected officials, all of the county commissioners were there, all of the different chamber of commerce, there were like five of them that belonged to the county. They were all there to find out what are we going to do to develop more economic impact for Charlotte County as a whole. And the most amazing thing was that came up was the Publix and the Piper Road extension, and then they brought up the Motorsports Park. And the most amazing thing is we have gone from talking about something from you guys had 3 years ago about a Motorsports Park to now having this be on top of the table and on top of the conversation about, well, this is the only place that's bringing 2,000-plus people on the off-season.
That's right.
Wait till they get to the on-season. And as a joke, you know, I say this is going to be the Disney World of motorsports. But I can tell you ask for improvements. I want to have take the concession area where we used to go through and you'd walk through as hot as it could be and turn it into a Race Rock Cafe or a Charlotte County Motorsports Cafe, where it operates 7 days a week till 11:30, and run.
You mean with real seats?
Real seats, real chairs. Nice. We want to put awnings all the way behind the grandstands that exist now. So we'll have the Bud Gardens back there by Victory Pub, and be able to have a gazebo outside where people can sit. Oh, you haven't seen our fountain.
I haven't seen the fountain.
The garden's cool. You got to see.
I'm not
garden.
Traveling this weekend, so I think I'll come down and see the fountain.
The garden's cool.
Circle Track's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do a little article.
That's cool.
You know, and
that's cool.
The neatest thing of all
was this Bobby Deal name dropping?
No.
Okay.
No. Sinclair Landscaping. That's dropping their name.
That's dropping their name.
They did all this, and with Danny Yates, who's one of our racers, is donating all the palm trees and all the shrubbery. We will have palm trees on top of the hill, along with our new fountain that's in the Memorial Garden right there where you walk in. And the only thing they want out of it is they want to be able to say that we make Charlotte County Motorsports Park look good.
And Danny Yates Landscaping is helping
out
a lot.
That's very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Yates Landscaping gave a lot.
But that's the racers getting involved, wanting to make a better race place.
Do you? By the way, did you bring some real Racing USA Thunder Truck drivers with you?
You know, one of the things that I absolutely can tell you that a tribute to Charlotte County Motorsport becoming successful is the backbone classes. The backbone classes are the ones that come week after week in and out. And I can tell you they are the most aggressive but the most caring about what goes on. They are the ones that they are the power of the Speedway. Don't ever forget your backbone, because your backbone, believe it or not, drives the front gate.
Good night, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Bert.
All right.
Bert, good seeing you, buddy.
Thanks for the memories.
Live at the Snook River Grill we are.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And, you know, Bobby, you're talking about that. They are the adhesive that keeps the family together.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let me tell you this, Rick. Saturday night, we had backbone classes. We didn't have any visiting classes. Well, we had the midgets and the USA sprint cars. But the rest of our race show was our backbone classes, our Thunder Trucks, our Super Stocks, our Road Warriors. We had a Road Warrior 50 lap, put on a show with them, and the fans loved it.
They didn't leave.
You know, they stayed for every race, and we had a good crowd. We did good Saturday night, and it's thanks to the guys like Randy Kyle that are sitting next to me that's, you know, the Thunder Truck guys. They really do a good job, and our Road Warriors guys, you know, like Shane Leonard. He won our Road Warrior 50 lap feat.
After having heart attacks.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, three wide in turn one, and it's okay.
And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Robin's racing, and we, Robin's racing.
We're driving our sound guy crazy over here.
I'm sorry if I'm too loud. I'm just.
The excitement.
Well, exactly.
And Oscar, you know, you talk about that. Back in the day, you know, when I first started going down there, first met you, I mean, that's all that ran at Charlotte County. And the crowds were amazing down there, nothing like they are now, but, I mean, they were really good crowds. And the thing that always amazed me about Charlotte County is everybody knew everybody.
And it's starting to get back that way, yeah. Rick. Really, it is, buddy. I mean, I have a lot of people on Saturday night. Oscar, I'm glad to see you back. Because when Bobby first took over, he asked Oscar, come work for Bobby. And after South Carolina, after moving to South Carolina and going through what I did in South Carolina with the racetrack and everything, I flat told Bobby Deal, no, I am done with working at a short track. I am done. And then he got Linda and Krista to come in and score for him. And then we've done some changes and everything. And like he mentioned our flagman, I Charlie's a good guy and everything, but I didn't feel he was the man for the flagman, so I got Greg Roback to come back to be our flagman. So Greg's our flagman now.
But you didn't get rid of Charlie.
No, I just put Charlie in a more useful place for Charlie. Yeah. Charlie's doing the best job on the back straightaway that I've seen in a long time at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Basically, you're putting a team of people together. And I'll tell you, you know, when you go to another thing that Charlotte County Motorsports Park has going that a lot of tracks don't, and this is part of what helps bring the community deal in there, is I don't get the newspaper because, you know, I work on the internet. I don't need to buy a newspaper physically. So they came by and they keep trying to sell me one. They threw one on my driveway on Monday, and I was out there. I went and finally picked it up to throw it away. But just for the hell of it, I decided to go and bring it inside and look at it. And I forgot all about this, you know, but I open it up. I go to the sports pages. Now, Charlotte County Sun is a newspaper with its various editions that rivals the circulation of, say, Manatee's paper, the Bradenton Herald, in its various ones, the Sarasota Herald Tribune in its various editions, Daytona. It's that size. There's a lot of people live in the readership area of that newspaper. You go to the sports page, and there it is. There's the Formula One story, the NASCAR story, and then there's the full story by Claude Lewis, the racing results. Not just the rundown of who won, the full story of Charlotte County Motorsports Park racing action on Saturday night. And those are things that can be done. If you guys can do it there, it can be done other places. And I think, because you got to remember, we're talking not just to a Florida audience here. This show is geared towards people all over the country. We talk to people all over the country on a regular basis on this show. And these are the kinds of things that you guys are doing, and it's very important.
Well, Claude Lewis is a big asset. I mean,
key people in key places.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what Bobby's got. He's trying to put key people in key places.
And that, my friend, is a tough job because I've been working at one racetrack for 5 years, and I know how hard that can be.
Well, you got to be a great leader to have great followers, and Bobby's a great leader, and he's trying to put great followers in place to where he can have the best racetrack in the state of Florida. That's what I'm striving for at Charlotte County Motor Sports Park is the race director. I try to treat everybody as fair as I can. I mean, I do my best. I mean, being an official at a racetrack is a thankless job.
Ooh.
Oh, I mean, because one time you're a hero, the next guy walks up to you, you're a zero.
Absolutely.
But you know what? The same thing is true for the driver. So let's introduce these guys one at a time here. Go ahead.
This is Randy Kyle. He's the driver of the number 21 Thunder truck.
Hey. What kind of truck?
Thunder. Real racing road. Thunder truck.
Sorry, Rick. Real Racing USA Thunder truck. I got you, buddy. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And they say they don't know what they're talking about. Those racers have got it.
Yeah, they do.
First of all, I'd like to thank Bobby Deal for what he's done to the track, how he's bringing new excitement, new beginnings, how he's fixing the place up, and just how everything's working out, Oscar, and everything. I want to thank him for making it a better place, getting the 5 years, and just having some place where we can race instead of traveling way out of the way. I just want to thank him for that. And then I want to thank the rest of the guys, the volunteers, everybody that's at the Charlotte County that's helping it out, making it better, Danny Yates, all of them. I just want to thank them.
Good. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
You got to hold that mic up there real close.
Go ahead.
I'm Kurt Mays. I drive 34th Real Racing Thunder Truck. I'm going to get used to this Real Racing USA label that you put on us. We appreciate y'all coming on board helping us out, too.
Yeah, thank you.
And you?
Well, I'm probably one of the youngest truck drivers, or the Thunder Truck drivers, but I'm Ray Lang. I drive the number 01 Thunder Truck.
And now, how long have you guys been doing the Thunder Trucks in the class?
I've been doing the Thunder Trucks now for about a year, probably. Bought my first truck off Mike Bialacki, and that was a pretty good truck, but I've been doing it about a year.
I'm a rookie. I started this year. The gentleman sitting here behind us, he won't come up to the mic, the old man back there, the old rookie. Now, he's been bounding around Charlotte for a long time. Y'all need to get him up here and talk to him. He's one of the adopted two fat boys racing trucks.
I just started, I think it was September last year?
Yeah, summer.
No, but
I'm 17.
How long have you guys been around Charlotte County?
I've been around there probably 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years. So you know that this class was on the verge of disappearing.
Right. When I first started, basically, there was 3 or 4 trucks and nobody was showing up. Now we got 10 or 12 trucks coming up every weekend. It's getting bigger, too.
18 is high.
18 is the high. See, now I've watched this class start at Charlotte County Speedway, and it was amazing because I was thinking, well, this is Florida. Nobody's going to want to give up their pickup truck to go out there and race. But I mean, it started with Don Van Acker and these guys, and the racing was just intense, full body race trucks.
I think we've been called aggressive several times.
Cheryl Weaver, right. Yeah. But go ahead.
I was just getting tickled, Joel, talking about the Thunder Trucks. I think the first thing I remember Bobby and some of the other ones saying, we put something up on our webpage, too. So, yeah, I guess we're an aggressive class, but we have a lot of fun and put on a good show.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the whole idea, like Bobby said, the backbone. You're part of the backbone classes down there at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. What drew you into this class other than like Road Warrior or something else?
I actually got involved in the truck class, being born and raised in Little Arcadia, Florida, and all my family being from the hills of Kentucky. What do you expect me to drive?
A damn truck, right?
So, you know, I looked at it as redneck racing, but on the same token, there's a lot of things that go in these trucks, and all the guys put a lot of effort in it, and it puts on a good show. We have a good track manager. He does all right. I'm not going to sit here and polish him up too good yet. We've still got a little bit to see.
Yeah, don't polish him too much.
Have you had any other experience in racing besides this? Have you done anything else in racing? Have you raced anything else?
I've been just strictly trucks. I grew up loving racing. I went to work for a living, and after 23 years doing my job, I decided it was time for a hobby. Thanks to a 9-year-old, got involved in kart racing. So I figured I better learn a lot real quick. So here I am.
So, you know, like the late model, whoa, there it went again. That's all right. We're absolutely driving Craig Clark, our sound guy, crazy tonight. But
keep him busy.
That's okay. We're keeping him
on
his toes.
Down too.
In late model racing, super late model racing and so forth, you know, these upper echelons of racing, big guys start banging each other, but they get pissed off. Now, you guys do this on a – that's just par for the course. If you make it around the track one circuit without somebody banging on you, it must be boring. So that how do you guys look at that? How do you deal with it?
Well, we usually just try to deal with what gets thrown at us. And, well,
relax.
Oh, you can say whatever you want in front of him, but trust me.
You race it.
You got to worry about
Don't
Oscar.
Forget you race in our class.
Yeah.
It's our class.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, all this is kind of new for me because I ain't never done this before, but
We haven't been doing it that long.
There's only about 30,000 people listening to you, so relax.
Yeah. No pressure.
27,985.
Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, no pressure. But I started when I was 13 in the four-cylinder cars, which they got a different name now. They're called the Pro 4s and Fab 4s. But I'm 17 now, so the trucks are a lot different than the little cars. But
how many years did you race the four-cylinders?
Since I was 13 up till
four
the end
years.
Of last year, yeah.
Pretty much 4 years.
Yeah.
And you climbed into a truck, which is a whole different critter than a road warrior or anything. Because, I mean, setting up one of those bad boys is completely different than a car.
Right. I think I started back when Ray started. Ray and I started in the four-cylinder class, and me and him was racing against each other. And then we went down there, and then he moved to Thunder Trucks. I moved to Thunder Trucks. And when you switch from the four-cylinder car to the truck, it's a whole different ballgame. Them guys are leaning on you, I mean, rubbing metal. And I'm like, you know, what are these guys doing? But that's just normal. I mean, that's just it.
Is it hard to find these trucks?
Not really.
No?
I mean, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of people that's got, you know, still a bunch of them down there that, you know, just ain't bringing them out because they lost interest or lost money, you know. So.
We got to get them to get off them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those trucks because we had a bunch of them up here and we don't run the class anymore. So, I mean, there's a lot of trucks out there.
Yeah. We need to get off it.
I'm trying to build another one now. I'm going to be probably going to pick another one up tomorrow to try to get another one, try to get the count up in the class, you know. So.
We need a two-truck team here.
Yeah. Jack, we need to get one so I can go down there and race every once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually got two cars. Then I had a car down there I raced this year and a truck I raced this year. I had a four-cylinder, went back into that, and it's been going good. I mean, it really has. You know, the track's headed in the right direction. Everything's headed in the right direction down there. I mean, it's a good track to come to.
And what's got to make it good for you guys is driving by those grandstands and having all those people. I've talked when we have a good crowd at DeSoto, and the guys talk about, you know, they can hear the fans.
Right.
That's a whole, you know, when you can hear the fans in your race car, your race truck, or whatever, that makes a big difference.
I heard that last week when I was down there. There's a guy down there holding up a sign for me, which, you know, just until I basically moved up to Thunder Trucks, I got these, you know, fans holding up signs for me. And it's been great. You know, I heard him down there, you know, just going off. I'm like, all right, that's what I like. You know, I like to put on a show for the fans. And then Bobby put the boat race on last week. That's also a lot of excitement down there, that boat race. So.
Now, what do you do when you're not racing? What kind of work do you do?
I work for an indoor air quality company, taking care of mold on drywall and stuff like that down at Fort Myers.
Gotcha. That's cool.
lieutenant with the DeSoto County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I knew I'd seen you somewhere. I knew I'd seen you somewhere.
Right there, 10:15. Right there.
I knew I'd seen this man somewhere.
Take him away. Take Jack away.
Do y'all want
away.
A copy of the ticket he got or what?
I work at a little restaurant called The Hut in Buckingham.
Cool.
And so.
Right next to Richard DuPont's house.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's another truck driver that lives right down the road from where I work. We all call him Dodge Boy because he's the only Dodge in the class.
And now what do you say when you pull up and you win the race?
I want to thank the Real Racing USA.
Hey, why are you giving Rick $5?
Sucking up already, man.
That's cool.
Check's in the mail.
Thank you.
And, Bobby, you got another guy sitting back here that runs a little series with you, the Outlaw Street Stocks.
Yeah, come on up, Gary.
Yeah.
We got a few minutes here.
Yeah, we got a few minutes left.
Actually, you know, they asked what makes Charlotte County successful, and it's not just the backbones are a huge, huge part. The late models are a huge, huge part. But also it's the intermediate. You know, you got the sportsmen, they run twice a month. You got the super stocks, they run twice a month.
Real quick, Bobby, before we go any farther, you said the sportsmen. Now, you had a big thing with them guys as far as 10-inch tires, 8-inch tires.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're letting these guys make the decision.
Well, and that's part of it. It's their own destiny. You know, we had a challenge where we even paid $250 if you were big enough to go out there on an 8.5-inch groove tire versus a 10-inch. And we had a guy step up and do it, and he finished second, you know. So, but, you know, the idea is doing some of the things that the racers want to do. We have meetings, and we ask them, you know, what do you want to do? And we're having some controversy over crate motors and Vortec heads and our Road Warriors.
And that's a whole show in itself.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because, like Gary LaPlante brought in the idea of an outlaw street stock where they're going to race on slick tire or, you know, the racing tires with Road Warriors, but a little bit bigger class and pay a little bit more, run 50 laps instead of 25. And that's, again, is another draw. And I'm telling you, no matter how close it is to curfew, these people never leave. I don't care if it's a TBARA night, late model night, or whatever. They stay to watch these guys that go out and do the door-to-door stuff, whether it be the trucks or the outlaw street stock. So, you know, I'm going to get turned over to Gary because he's got some announcements that's part of the Florida Association of Short Tracks getting together and doing a real door slammer.
First of all, Bobby, I want to say congratulations on the 5-year contract that you have down there extended. I want to give you condolence. Great job you're doing.
Condolence is the word on that one.
That was like the conservation race.
Yeah, we give him condolences.
Anyways, we have a big challenge race coming up on 7-7 for all the street stocks, pure stocks, Road Warriors, $1,000 to win, 20 cars, and...
And that's July 7th for those numerically challenged.
7707.
Yeah. 7.
07. All the tracks are closed. And we had a challenge race from Citrus gentlemen. And the challenge is on. It's $1,000 to win. Come down and take our money. And 50 lap race.
They will,
too. Bring your own tires, the tire track. Just tell us which one you honor. And 750 to win with 20 cars or under.
That's what it's about.
Okay.
And that's the tracks working together. That's all the guys that are off.
It's outlaw street stocks.
Oh, yeah.
The challenge is street stocks, yes.
Whether it
the
be,
pure stocks, the Road Warriors, whatever, we're honor them all. They're all compatible and everything else.
Do they have to bring their own rules? Is that how you're doing it? Or I mean, how are you doing the
rules? How can people contact you through your website? Or
my website is www.suncoaststreetstocks.com.
And your email address and so forth on there.
Yes.
Phone numbers.
Yes, phone numbers and everything's on that.
Bobby, this week you got this week coming up now, you have a big late model race. And from what I understand, you have Wayne. I can't believe you guys came up with all these names. Some of them I think you're not really accurate on. But
it's Bobby's world.
Yeah. Wayne Top Gun
Party
Anderson.
Time.
Dalton Speed Racer Zier. Dustin the Kid Dunn. Mike the King Franklin. I thought he was Hollywood.
Well, he is the King of Hollywood.
Yeah, okay, the King of Hollywood. Randy DeFox, Steve El Toro Arnold, Phil, my main man, Phil the Man Morrison.
There is nothing but the man there.
You misspelled his name.
Well, which one, man?
Yeah, no, Morrison. Phil's not going to like that now.
That's okay. I'll keep the door locked.
All right. Bobby Slipstream Shelton. I'm telling you, Jeff Fireball Firestein. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Well, it's not what you say, it's how you say
Drew
it.
Drew Showtime Brandon, that 14-year-old wizard. He's not going to come down here and spank
somebody. Let me tell
you,
he's been Showtime for 4 years.
He's doing good in this. I mean, he won. You know, he just won over there in New Smyrna.
Top three at DeSoto
Speed
this
17
past
cars.
And there goes back to the old fast days, the trucks.
You let Rob Bone Man Ellington race at your track?
Unbelievable. Yeah, he came out of, you know, remember the old days with the Crip
Pirate and Radio.
And had it all. I mean, this guy is older than dirt and got Pletcher to rebuild a new motor for him, and he's out pounding the ground.
Johnny the Lightning. Here's Johnny Lightning K.
Yeah, Johnny Lightning K. Johnny Lightning been around for 100 years and nobody ever called
Padula
him Lightning.
Is the best one.
Let's see what's Gary the Flame.
That boy, talk about a whole suppression system he was at that night. He didn't have anything left.
I still, the funniest thing I ever seen in a late model race at Charlotte County Motorsports Park was when Johnny K ran the whole length of the front straight to get a running start to take a full flying leap onto the hood of Randy Fox's car.
And they call this entertainment.
Yeah, they call this entertainment.
Jack, you got who else you got on the list? I got somebody else.
Hey, there goes Elvis! Yo, King!
Jack, you got a hell of a memory, buddy. I mean, those were the good old days.
I remember that.
But so that's this weekend, June 30th.
I'm telling you.
Where are you guys located?
We are at exit 161 on the six-lane highway to Miami. That's in Ponte Gorda.
Ponte Gorda. Not the Tamiami Trail.
No, it's before that. That's on 41, isn't it?
Yeah, that's 41.
Yeah, Jones is Loop. 40. I mean, it's all interesting.
Right before you take the exit, look left,
listen,
and you'll see
the
race.
We've got to go drag racing, guys, and we're going to take a break here and then come back and do some drag racing. You going to hang out for a little bit?
Like an exposed nerve.
On that note,
we can't get rid of us that quick. You can't get rid of us that quick.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan.
Hooligan.
Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What else says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it?
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Fake.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
CarNight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. Think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's time to go drag racing. 200 miles per hour on two wheels.
200 miles per hour.
God, Jack, you're just killing me.
I just keep doing it, man. You got to turn it down.
Back away from the mic.
Y'all going to break Stevie's phone.
Step away from
the mic. 200 miles an hour.
200 miles an hour.
Or Stevie, as Satch says, back away from the grill.
Stevie, you there?
Stevie?
No, we've already blown Stevie completely.
Oh, my God. Did you blow him away? Steve?
We blew Stevie completely off the line.
Steve.
Steve's choking
guys,
over there.
Give me
there.
Some volume.
He's choking. Yeah.
You probably blew the wax right out of your ears. Holy
you all right, Stevie?
Moly.
I need more volume. I can barely hear you guys.
More volume? How about
okay.
now? Is that better? Is that better?
Remember, you know, I'm used to, you know, anywhere between 8,000 to 16,000 horsepower.
That's right.
I mean,
loud. Fast.
I don't hear real well unless it's like being in the military and the artillery.
You should be getting lots of volume.
All right.
I'm blowing off the meters here, so.
All right.
What's going on, Stevie?
Guys, I just made my way back from way out west where we went out to the Cresto Hand Cleaners Pacific Nationals. And, man, what a wild weekend.
Now, this is all Harley drags we're talking.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It was kind of a disappointment from the weather out in Seattle, because unfortunately it did rain us out. But we did get a lot of racing in on Saturday, and we'll be talking about that. And something I wanted to bring up, too, before we get into that. On Sunday, we had a motorcycle ride come in here from all over the Northwest, and it's for the children's ride, number 12. And all these riders come from all over the West out there and to raise money. For the Children's Hospital. And then so far in their 12 rides, they've generated over $800,000. Now, I don't know how much on this last one they generated, but it was a nice sum. And you got to remember, it was raining. And here they come. Over 1,000 bikes come rolling into track. I mean, it was an awesome, awesome sight. And these guys have got hearts just solid gold. They're wonderful, wonderful people. But when it comes to racing now, to talk about some of the action that goes down and some of the different things. Tonight, in fact, I've got Stan Shepard. Stan, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Stevie. How are you doing?
Doing good. Well, Stan Shepard, he's way out there in California, one of the California boys, but we don't hold that against him now. And they do race out there just a little bit. And Stan, tell us a little bit about your class and what you run and what kind of bike it is.
Basically, I run the ProGas class, and it's kind of the wide open gas class with the All Harley Drag Racing Association. I mean, you can have a 200 cubic inch normally aspirated engine. You can run up to 160 inch, and you can put nitrous or a blower or turbo on the bike. Or at 122 inches max, you can run a blower nitrous combination. So it's for the backyard tinkers that want to go out there and play with some big horsepower.
Well, you know, guys, I will tell you one thing about what Stan hasn't told you. Yes, he does race in Pro Gas, but this man, he is racing in three different classes. You talk about a guy that jumps from bike to bike to bike. He races an ET. He races an SEP. And am I correct, Stan? Aren't you number one in the points in the SEP class?
In the SEP, I'm number one West Coast. Unfortunately, because of the pulling time off work, I can only race West Coast. But I'm now currently number one in the points West Coast and SEP.
So you're somewhat on a limited schedule as to how you can run your bike then, how many times a year?
Right. Basically, the West Coast is six races, Phoenix, Dallas, Portland, Seattle, Pomona, and then the finals in Vegas.
So far, how has this season been treating you?
I've done in the first two races what I've been would really be happy doing the entire year. I've basically six races. I made three finals. I won one, and then I red lit in the other two, one by 0.02 of a second, and one by 0.14 of a second. So I'm there, but I knew I had to push the tree because I was kind of at a performance disadvantage on two of the finals.
Well, guys, just to give you an idea, when you hear a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 difference between these bikes, to blink your eye takes 8,000 of a second. It's that close. And I always make the comment, it's like laying a toothpick between the tires at the finish line. They're probably within an inch, 2 inches at the speeds they run. It's incredibly close action. So those are tough ones to lose.
Yeah, but, like I say, I knew I had to push the tree on both of those, and I pushed it just a little bit too far. But that's the way it goes sometimes. But still, making three finals out of six races, and two of the classes had 32-plus bikes in them. So that's not a bad start to the year. And then Seattle was not bad to me either, a number one qualifying position and a number two qualifying position. So it's not a bad start to the year.
Well, it was fun to watch you up there, and I will tell you guys that one of the things that all the riders like to do is they like to come out and be recognized for the number one qualifier in their particular class. And Stan, who is no stranger to the winner's circle now, in fact, he's had eight wins. Since 1994, I believe. And Stan said that the one thing he's never been able to do is be number one qualifier. And Stan, so tell us what you talked me into doing on that one.
Well, basically, it looked like we were going to get rained out. So I said, tell you what, Steve, if I come up the starting line, even in the rain, give me a little howdy from the tower. And sure enough, he did.
Well, it was raining, and here comes Stan in the rain, and he's bound to determine he's going to get his 30 seconds of glory out there, and he's going to finally be introduced. And I gave him one hell of an introduction, and of course, he was polite and casual as he bowed to those empty stands with the raindrop pouring about as hard as you could get. But we got it captured on film, so it's going to be one of the classics. I mean, that was a lot of fun. Well, Stan, away from that now, let's go back to something that you've done for several years. Now, you're not doing this year, but you'd been the past president on the Sportsman's Racing Association. Am I correct on that? For what, 3 years?
Yeah, I was the president for 3 years. Basically, the Sportsman Racers Association started out, the Sportsman Racers is kind of where people get into the sport of drag racing Harleys, and they're kind of the stepchild to the pro classes. So the way we were handled by the HDRA was creating some issues. So a gentleman started the Sportsman Racers Association, and then I took it over and became president for 3 years. And basically, it gave the voice to the Sportsman Racers with the association. And basically, they corrected a lot of the things that were causing issues, which caused the formation of the association.
Is the association, are they still functioning now, or what is the status on that?
The status is right now it's kind of on hold. Because of work commitments, I had to back out this year, and so really nobody's taken over the ball and kind of run with it. Basically, the reason it was started is how the sportsman racers were being treated, and that's improved a whole lot over the last 3 years.
So right now, we really don't apparently have the problems that we had back then. And you must have done a pretty good job as a president, because we're able to relax that a little bit, huh?
Right. Yes. And they got a board made up of both pro racers and sportsmen racers that advise the HDRA on issues that affect all the racers. You know, we want to come out there. We want to have a good time. We enjoy racing, and but I don't want to sit out in the sun for 2 hours. Waiting to make my pass. That gets so, especially when it's hot. That makes it a little tough on you.
All, yeah. So that was the issues and stuff that do arise relate to is just like calling bikes to lanes or safety issues, this type of thing.
It was not really safety issues. It's just like I say, when you get called up, you want to be able to go out there and race. Yeah, we have oil downs. Those things happen, but you know. We'd call out and we'd be out there for an hour, and then they pull us off because they have to run the pros on a preset schedule, and if we had oil downs or something like that, it would just, I say, but basically they've really worked at correcting a lot of the issues that the sportsman racers have, and basically the sportsman racers end up moving up in classes and becoming a pro, which is exactly what happened with me. Is I got into it on the sportsman bike and then moved up into the pro classes.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun being out there with you this past weekend, and I do appreciate you coming on the show tonight. And hopefully we need to get you not only up there to talk about you coming up as the number one qualifier, but I'd like to see you at the end of the day when you have the win, too, and we'll get you back on the show one more time. Stan, thank you so much for coming on this evening. It was an absolute blast. Guys, you got anything you want to ask Stan before we let him go?
Well, I tell you, man, we were just hanging here listening to this. It's pretty amazing. What is, you know, how is a, what is exactly is a sportsman? Because, you know, I'm not really up on the drag racing thing. I've been doing this stock car racing forever. What exactly is a sportsman?
A sportsman typically are slower bikes. When I say slow bikes, a sportsman bike, you can get sportsman bikes that are running in the 8 seconds now.
Which, and, how fast is that in miles per hour?
You're looking at 140, 145 miles an hour, 150.
Well, Stan, I don't know why you're going so slow.
Yeah. Now, the pro classes typically are going to run from, the mid-eights down into the sixes. And, you have the top fuel, pro fuel, pro drag, pro gas, pro mod, pro stock classes, and typically these are more expensive bikes to run, and they're running like I say down into the low sixes.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, Stan, you were talking earlier about the win with 0.2 seconds. Can you feel that guy next to you?
Oh yeah, and 0.2 is a huge win. Okay, a lot of these races are
2,000s, rather. I'm sorry.
Divided by thousands of a second. I mean, you're a half or a quarter of a bike length at the end of the track, and it's really some intense racing.
Now, the difference between racing a car versus racing a bike, you taking off from the line. I mean, you got to be a lot more careful with trying to pull a hole shot and stuff, right?
Oh no, I dumped the clutch at 6,500 RPM. I'm pulling 3 G's off the line, carrying the front wheel out there for 60, 70 feet on a pro gas bike. The top fuel bikes, when they drop the clutch, they're carrying the front wheel over 1,000 feet down the
Whoa.
Track. In fact, the scariest thing for a top fuel rider is when they set down that front wheel doing 200 miles an hour and the wheel stopped.
So it's really a one-wheel deal.
One-wheel deal.
Yes, it's exciting on the launch line, yes. But, you're just dumping the clutch and going.
So now when you start feeling that bike maybe drifting towards the center line or something, do you actually steer it or do you lean? How do you handle that?
It's basically like water skiing. You're shifting your body weight and using your feet on the pegs to basically control the bike to keep it going right, left. Hopefully you're going straight down the track, but that doesn't always happen.
Now, we see a lot of times in the upper classes of drag racing, tire shake. Do you get tire shake in your bike?
I've run into tire shake, yeah. And that's typically a function of, in any drag racing, the clutch setup is critical. If you don't get the right air pressure tire, the right clutch setup, you know, the right wheelie bar height. I mean, all of this impacts it. And, yeah, you can get some tire shake, and you'll just shake that tire going right down the track. It'll just leave divots going down the track.
Well, but the difference is that John Force is sitting down, and you're straddling the motor.
You know what? It would scare the hell out of me to go down the track in a seven-second car, but on a bike, I'm comfortable as hell.
That's wild, man. That is wild. What's your future plan, Stan?
Well, I'm 57 years old. I'm having a blast, and I figure I got another 5 or 6 years of racing left in me, so I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, Stevie, got anything else for Stan?
No, that pretty well sums it up. We gave him a new nickname after this last weekend. We now call him the Cowboy. Stan Shepard. It was one heck of a ride.
Cowboy Stan, all right. Appreciate it. Thank you much for being on here with us on Real Racing, and we'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down now.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us, they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Oh, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Rider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
For you, the daily commute isn't simply a drive to the office. It's a hands-on exploration deep into your schnoz.
I'm going in now.
With pinpoint accuracy and sheer determination, you dig for boogers like miners dig for gold.
Hit the jackpot!
And why do you do it? 'Cause the windows are up and you think we can't see you. We can.
How you doing?
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh nabber of the nose nugget. We'd like to shake your hand, but you'll have to wash it first.
Mr. Indica.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Coming back with Steve. I understand there's a possible new heir for the Top Fuel division.
Well, we're going to talk to a man tonight, Ron Homme. Now, this is a Top Fuel pilot. This man rides on a rocket. Dips down the six-second zone, goes way into the 200-mile-an-hour barrier. He busted every time. But he's experimenting now, and he's got something new, and we're going to talk with him tonight. Ron, how you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thanks, Steve.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm going straight to the motor. And one of the things that when we talked, I was fascinated with, and I'd heard they talk about it, going around the pits, and that is you have a 60-degree 5-inch bore, 5-inch stroke motor, and that's a relatively new engine, am I correct?
Yeah, it is new, actually. Just last weekend, I would have, including the test session on Friday and three rounds of qualifying, I would have had 15 quarter-mile rounds on this new combination that we put together. You know, traditionally, the Harley motor is a 45-degree, and, you know, over the last few years, they've come up with a 60-degree V-rod, they call it. And that's basically what they're running in the Pro Stock NHRA classes right now. And we've switched that whole combination over, or that concept over, to the 60-degree.
Well, now, you went into a four-stroke combination, 5-on-5. Now, the pistons in this motorcycle, they have to be the size of trash cans, 5 inches across. That is massive. What is the total cubic inch on this motor?
196 cubic inch.
Now, is there a certain four-stroke combination like that generates more power? Have they found this to be an extremely, or I should say, more efficient as far as producing power?
Well, traditionally, a square motor is a better running motor combination there in the V8 world anyway. And with this combination we have, of course, with that 60-degree and spreading them cylinders apart allows us to have a full-skirted piston now where with the 45-degree at the bottom of the stroke, we have to cut away on the skirts on a 45-degree motor. So this has, again, given us more support in the cylinder, and that 5-inch bore is a newer kind of a concept. There are a few other guys out there that are also experimenting with that. And initially, out of the 15 runs we've made, I mean, the second quarter-mile pass with this motor, I ran the 665 at 206 mile an hour, and it's just a learning deal here with this combination. It takes fuel differently. The clutch, everything seems to react completely different from my older 175 combination, and I see great results with it.
So there's a lot more power that you're seeing, but what I guess the point that I do want to bring up, I know this motor is generating great power right now. It's injected, am I correct?
It is, yes.
Okay. You told me that you were talking about the possibility of a blower going on this Harley.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 800 horsepower.
A blower?
We are.
With 800 injected right now. And he's talking about putting a blower on it. I know you're still in the learning stages on this thing, but tell us a little bit just how do you go about putting a blower on something like this? What is it all going to involve, and what kind of problems do you run into?
Well, I guess the problems will probably be money-related at the beginning of the whole concept, because it's going to take a bit of R&D for sure to make that combination work. The idea of the 60-degree is a perfect fit for something like that, again, because we have a full-skirted piston for support in the cylinder, and 60-degree allows us that much more room on the intake track for plumbing, et cetera, for the blower. I mean, there are Europeans right now running that blowers on a 45-degree motors, so it isn't something that hasn't been tried, but I think that with this 60-degree, again, it gives it that much more of a good baseline to work with, or a good combination to work with, I should say.
I know you want sure. cold air, but we got some hot air here. I think we should attach Jock to the intake of the motor.
Go ahead. I had somebody calling in there.
Guys, I don't think we can hear you. Can you guys turn up your volume?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Real weak.
Real weak?
Yep.
Craig's weak like that.
It must be a long connection. We're up there. We're pretty loud.
Okay, just think of us as we're in the artillery. We're asking you to play us a song. Play it loud.
There you go. All right.
All right, we can hear you now.
There we go.
That's because that's Jack.
That's Jack.
Okay.
What do you want to ask, Ron?
No, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay. So, now with this blower concept, and I know you got to do a lot of R&D and everything, how is it going to be as far as clearances with your legs? How's your body going to be able to adapt to it? Because the thing's got to come out the side. How big will something like this be? And will it cause a problem going down the track, being able to stay stable to where it doesn't want you to pull to one side?
Well, that's going to be down the road for something like that, Steve. I'm just happy with what we're getting right now with the injected, fuel right now, and the idea is that it is a perfect fit down the road here to work on that combination, and I'm just happy with what we've got right now, just working on that. And what I mentioned to you the other day was that down the road this would be a perfect fit for a blower combination, and. That there again is going to take some R&D and some money behind it for me to be able to pursue that particular racing avenue in that. And I'm happy with what we're doing right now. I mean, I'm all the way up here in British Columbia, Canada, and just to make the U.S. event becomes quite a task as it is here. I mean, generally most of them are on the East Coast there, so for me to travel, say to Rockingham or something, that there is over a 6,000-mile trip there and back. So
yeah,
Lately here, I've been staying close to home working on this stuff, and we run a couple of weeks from now at an IHRA event in Edmonton, Alberta. And
I'll be there.
Will you? Well,
yep, yeah. I'll be there. Come down and see me. I'll be in the big yellow truck.
Okay. Well, cool.
There was a man down there. If you go in the sand trap, that he's going to pull you out.
Oh, no.
I'm the guy you want to see, but you don't want to see at the same time.
That's right. If you don't see him all weekend long, you had a good week.
There you go. Hey, Ron, I got a quick question for you. How physically demanding is racing one of these bikes?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, I listened earlier to Stan there talking about body English and that becomes a lot more pronounced on what we're riding here. I mean, our bikes are, you know, anywhere from 800 to 1,000 horsepower, depending on the tune-up and the percentage of fuel you're putting in it. So it's a lot of body English to keep that thing in the groove. You can't lean it. You got a 14-inch tire on the back. Once you lean a bike, say if it was going left and you tried to lean it right, well, it's getting on the edge of that tire and it's going to actually dramatically push you harder to the left, which you're trying to get away from. So what you got to do is keep the bike physically level and move your body over to get it away from the left side of the track or the right side. And it takes a lot of, you know, and again, depending on your tune-up and the setup on the bike, if it goes straight down the middle, it's an easy ride on the back wheel and the wheelie bars. And if it starts moving around and spinning the tire, well, then you got to physically move that thing, and it's got to go where you want it to go.
So, I mean, and also, the aerodynamics of the bike and the way you sit on the bike, do you physically have to hold on?
We actually sit right down in the bike, so you know, sit behind the motor there, and when we're planted on that thing, it's not a hold on as much as it is just a sit into the thing. And it, like I say, it's up on the back wheel and on a wheelie bars right off the start line. And you know, this weekend here in qualifying, mine was carrying it right down to the 1,100, 1,200 foot mark, and then just kind of skipping the front wheel. And on a good tune up, that thing should have carried it right through the lights.
So, now, I see here that you design these bikes, you build bikes. Do you build the bikes to fit the rider to the aerodynamic of the bike?
Well, we try to get in behind our little windshield, you might want to call it there, but it isn't really aerodynamic as a pro stock in NHRA. You look at them guys, and they spend lots of time in a wind tunnel on the bike, tucking in and stuff. And I really haven't heard a lot of guys with the Top Fuel Harleys getting into the wind tunnel and having that opportunity. And, you know, right now it's just to get in and get behind that windshield as best you can and tuck down there.
Well, it's basic.
Know, we do get, and the record I believe right now is 226 mile an hour and a quarter mile, and that's moving pretty quick, and that's at 6.23 seconds,
yeah.
I think is
6.23,
That's so insane.
It's pretty controllable stuff. You know, everybody thinks it's kind of right out there and really dangerous, but I mean, you're in a controlled environment there. The worst situation for you to get into is if you run into something, and that's not going to really happen on a racetrack unless you happen to run into the other guy in the other lane. But, you know, you look through the history of our stuff there through the last five or so years, it's been really safe stuff.
Well, that's awesome. Ron, keep us posted on your R&D, what you come up with. And
especially this blower deal.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be groundbreaking.
Well, it definitely will. And like I say, you know, some financing backing there would definitely help on that situation. You know, I've got a few good sponsors that help me out, Redline Oil, and they make some good products out there, and they've helped me out greatly over the years. And you know, any sportsman racer all the way up to the pro racers, without some help from friends and sponsors, it makes it a hard, tough deal to do.
Well, Ron,
out there we do it.
Ron, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You got us a lot of information on this deal, and we hope to have you back on real soon.
Yeah, anytime I could. I appreciate you guys there, and I'll be listening to your show. Thanks again.
Thank you, Ron.
So, Stevie, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, it's going to be just a few weeks of R&R from the Harleys, but I will be bringing on some guests here, which I'll give you the names of them here in just a few days as I make some more contacts. But it's not that far. The next one we're going to South Dakota to a town called Sturgis. And when we roll into Sturgis, I assure you I'm going to do my best to do it live. And if I can pull that off, we're going to be live at Sturgis. I have no idea if it's going to be bike racing or babes, but one of the two we're going to have on the air. So, you guys, you don't want to miss that. Just please keep listening. Whenever we do it, it's going to be crazy, I promise you.
Stevie, it's going to be wild from Sturgis.
And this will be my first trip.
What's the date on Sturgis? What's the date on Sturgis?
You're asking me, and I don't have my sheet in front of me.
Okay. Well, we'll arrange it all. We'll work it all out.
Well, they can go right to the All-Holly Drag Racing Association and check the...
Yeah, we'll work it all out. And I'll tell you what, those guys were pretty cool, man.
They're super neat to meet.
Yeah, Stan Shepard and Ron. How do you pronounce Ron's last name? I still don't have it figured out.
Honey.
Oh, Ron Honey?
No, not Honey.
Okay. Stan Shepard. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, they definitely are. And now Ron races in a group of Harley racers up there in Canada, too, which he never did mention on that. But they have a group they race out west. And like he said, he does make an occasional trip to the East Coast, and depends on where he's at on the points and so on. And it's super nice guy, and bad bike. That's all I can say.
All right, man.
Well, Stevie, we'll be looking forward to next week, brother.
Absolutely. You just never know who's going to be on next week.
All righty.
All right. You guys take care.
All right, Stevie. Take care, brother.
Bye-bye.
I told you we were going to have a variety.
A variety. We always have a variety.
We absolutely had a variety. Drag racing, stock car racing of all different types and sizes.
Bert Thomas, ASA.
I'm telling you, it's pretty
big
cool.
News coming out of the ASA tomorrow. Big news.
Yep, that's what we understand, and we'll talk about that probably on the ASA Fast Lane. And I'll tell you what, for myself, Jack Smith, Rick Angies, Greg Clark, Stevie Letemp,
Bobby Deal,
pretty cool, man.
Oscar and the Truckers.
Yeah.
It's another great night. Real Racing USA. Right here every Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. Don't forget, July the 24th, the Sunshine Speedway reunion show, live from Quaker Steak and Lube. And just announced minutes ago, you got the phone call, the second TBRA Wing Sprint show right here at the Snook River Grill, July the 10th.
July the 10th. Absolutely. Right here. Gonna pack this place.
See you next week.
One more time. Take it to the limit. one more time. To the limit, one more time.